Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, it's been going down over here on this due time with Pastor Steph. As we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the due time crew, and we talked about our continuation, actually, of our conversation, the things you seriously need to consider when dating older. Yes. Well, we talked about the fact that the cultural gap might put a wedge in your relationship. Yes, you know, you like the, you know, the OGs and the whispers, and somebody might be liking Snoop Dogg. Yeah, you know, that might bridge a little gap up in that thing. Yeah, so, you know, you don't want to, you know, have that type of disparity, do you? And what about the fact that your financial responsibilities might not, you know, jive? You know, you got a whole lot of, you know, school loans, and, you know, he got Social Security that he's worried about getting. Yeah. You know, you do have those situations. You know, I might be laughing, but there might be some serious, you know, some serious things to think about. Because if, you know, remember now, when you get to be a certain age and you got a check coming in every month, you can't necessarily go and increase that amount of the check. No. So if you need to get more money, that might not be an easy thing for you to do once you get into senior citizen mode. No. So, you know, we talked about that one. And what about the fact that you get a sneak peek into the other person's future as well as your own? You know, are you ready to, you know, do certain things that older people do? That might not be your thing just yet. You know, you might be ready for that when you get to be that age. But if you're like 20-something or 30-something, you know, and you kind of get a snapshot of what that looks like to be old or older, that might not go over too well. So, you know, those are the things that you really need to think about when dating older. And if you want some other things to think about, last week's segment, last week Monday, is when we first got started with this topic. So that might bring some other things to your realization. Listen, don't underestimate this. Take this as a warning that you need to seriously be thinking about this stuff, because you don't want to get into a relationship and then you just kind of freeze, or you're halted or stalled because some things come past, you know, come past you that you weren't quite ready for. Okay? All righty. Well, we couldn't finish off a Monday properly without the switch tip with Shantice, number 91, I believe. Do not react. Don't react. Now we know this is a tall order. Yeah, you know, because something happens and immediately you react. And sometimes our reaction is not the best because we haven't really taken the time to think about the repercussions or, you know, any of the long-term effect of how we respond. And reaction is, you know, kind of taking on a negative connotation at times because, you know, people react negatively. You know, it's really a lot of times a knee-gut reaction, as they say, a knee-jerk reaction, as they say. You don't want to get caught up in that because a lot of times when you're reacting, you don't have any room for godly movements. Yeah, that's all in the heart. That's all in the spirit. That's all in the flesh. And, you know, when we read the Bible, the Word of God tells us that we need to be moving in the spirit, definitely not in the flesh. And we're coming back to that fleshly thing in a minute. But, yeah, so, you know, give some opportunity for some of that stuff that you should have been meditating on day and night, or the word that came from the pastor, or that Bible verse that you just read this morning that really should have prepared you for what happened. Now we're in business, okay? So let's try not to, you know, react and get things all twisted. And now we got this long-term problem, or at least an issue that's going a little further than what we really needed to go. Okay? All right. See, I knew what you thought about this thing. You would, you know, not react. Okay? Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday Church Folk Day rolled around, and we got to talking with the panel about Kiara Sheard. She just got married recently, and, you know, she was in an interview, and she shared some advice that her mom gave her, and didn't go over with the Christian community too well. Who cares? They always got issues. Yes, well, she told her daughter, hey, get a hotel room from your friends. Do not have anybody in your home while your husband's in your home. You know, really, there's no room for the two. And the Christian community, I mean, they just bashed Karen Clark Sheard as they said that, you know, what's wrong with the Christian community? What's wrong with these Christian women? You know, that's what the world wants us to believe, that we can't trust our husbands. And, you know, there's no way in the world you shouldn't have, you know, you shouldn't be able to have your people over, and you have to worry about his temptations. We shouldn't. No, we shouldn't have to worry. We shouldn't have to worry about a whole lot of stuff. But the fact of the matter is that it exists. It's a real possibility. Is it something that you want to happen? Absolutely not. But, you know, the Due Time Crew said, do you throw the steak in front of the lion and not expect it to ravish that piece of meat? Well, we don't want to, you know, tempt anybody. You know, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's lurking in the background of someone's head, or, you know, listen. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I guess for me, my biggest issue was, you know, and I've been saying this all week, she didn't take advice from somebody in the street. She didn't take advice from some random individual. This was advice from her mother. And, you know, if that's what she wanted to accept, you know, from her mom, then so be it. Her mom's been married a few decades here, and, you know, she knows a little something. You know, everything doesn't have to happen to you for you to understand and for you to know. Okay? So leave them alone and let them have their marriage. And, you know, nobody has any business roaming around if that's not what they want or that's not what they need to have. Okay? All right. Well, we then ran up on a Wow Wednesday. And Vivian got us started with the socially conscious segment. And we heard that, you know, oops, I got my little notes all twisted up here. I'm sorry. Well, we talked about the mom in Georgia who left her children home because she had to work. And her oldest daughter, 14, was involved in her remote learning for school. But there were four other siblings in the home. And one of those little tykes got away. And the neighbor spotted the child and called the authorities. And, you know, the story goes where when the authorities showed up, they understood, you know, things happen. But later, someone was sent back to arrest mom and put her in jail for child endangerment, reckless, you know, this whole reckless child endangerment thing. And, you know, we definitely get the fact that, you know, was there a babysitter really in the house if the child that was supposed to be babysitting was remote learning? Because if that was her focus, then she could not take care of four younger siblings, including one that was four. So, you know, we understand, you know, that there was some issue there. But do you lock the mom up and now the children have no mom at all? You know, yeah, you know, it's a hard thing, you know, and I'm not about to go into all of this, oh, woe is me for the single mother. But, you know, it's a tough spot to be in, and unfortunately, for whatever the reason is, she could not find any child care, or, you know, she couldn't take off work. So, you know, that was the dilemma that she had to face. And we hope that it all worked out for her. Yes. Okay. Now, we were also told that the United States is the least educated place to be in 2022. Now, that doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me. You know, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is, you know. But within the United States, New York, where we hail from, over here on this due time with Pastor Steph, we ranked number 13. And West Virginia was at the bottom of the list. Yes. And somebody said to me West Virginia was the least smartest state. And I had no clue as to what they were talking about. Well, when Vivian gave us our socially conscious segment, it all made sense. Okay. Well, Wednesday is now Women's Day. And the women of worship was in the house. And enemies of your soul is what the conversation was about. And whoa, did they show out as we talked about sin, the world, defeat, and the flesh were the enemies of the soul we focused on. Remember I told you we were coming back about that flesh thing. Yes. And we really got some word and some ministry going down on Wednesday, especially as we stepped into the ways to defeat those enemies. Work with enthusiasm. Protect yourself from ungodly confusion. And that seems to be a thing everybody is having a difficult time with. Yes. you know. So we got to make sure we stick with the Word of God, you know, and stay prayerful. Those two things really seem to be the key, you know, when we're talking about the enemies of our soul. And, you know, it's a hard thing to fight, but it's impossible. It's impossible to do without the Lord. So if you have your sword and your shield, which is the Word of God, and if you have, you know, your prayer time with God, that relationship that you need to develop, then it's not so easy to get those enemies of the soul up and running and just highlighted in your life each and every moment of the day. Well, we closed out with none other than our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlene. And we talked about staying armed at all times. Wow. Wow. Now, if that's not faith over fear for you, then I can't even imagine. Can't even imagine, you know, what else you could possibly be talking about. Okay? All righty. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around. And boy, oh boy, did we get into one interesting conversation. We talked about being an organ donor. Yes, kind of fell into that conversation. And it actually had its own little arms and legs and wings and feet. And, yeah, it was a really good impromptu conversation as we talked about, you know, my little dilemma the day before while filling out, you know, a brand new driver's license, was trying to figure out whether I was going to check organ donor or not, because having just come from the funeral of my mom, you know, and being able to actually see her there in the coffin, you know, thinking about being an organ donor will possibly mean that, you know, the family does not get that level of closure. So that ran me into a little dilemma. I didn't know whether I wanted to be an organ donor. You know, I definitely understood the importance of donating your organs and saving a life or enhancing or, you know, just giving that particular life, you know, just something new and a blessing from you that you can actually leave here after you're gone, because there ain't nothing else we could do after we go. Yes, sorry to break your heart, but if we can leave that organ, you know, then that's a different thing. So that was my toss up. So I threw it out there to the listeners, to the Due Time crew, and we really got a nice valuable conversation. You know, if there was somebody on the fence, I'm hoping that yesterday's conversation would definitely help to tilt the scale, push somebody else over the line, or, you know, really help to settle, you know, that in a person's mind and heart if that was a dilemma. And, you know, Brother Al told us a very touching story. You know, we've heard before how his son met his demise in a car accident at a young age, and mom had him signed up as an organ donor. And the little girl who received his eyes, you know, was able to write back and thank them for, you know, just being able to see the world differently with her new set of eyes. And, you know, that really made the difference, you know, or could have made the difference for somebody. Well, you know, I officially, you know, made the decision to be an organ donor yesterday. So, you know, you still may have some people on the fence, but we just pray that God, you know, that they see God for that particular decision, because it's not something that you just jump into. You know, as much as we see the benefit of it, you still need to see God about everything you do. Okay? So that's how we spent our Thursday And now we have rolled around. And it's Friday. It's Freestyle Friday. And I am so glad that we are at the end of the week. I am so grateful to God that he has ushered us into the weekend. And, you know, we have our men in the house, and we're giving God thanks. Oh, yeah, we are really going to do it up big today. We got some stuff to talk about. And, again, another set of crazy stories. And yesterday, we didn't even manage to get to our topic. So let's see if that even happens today. I am so happy and so grateful to God that we have all been ushered into this week, this weekend rather, and we are safe. We are in our right frame of mind. You know, it's a lot to be said to be here. And we're going to take that break, and we want to remind you that eat that healthy breakfast. Make sure you grab that healthy quick breakfast. Make sure that you tell a friend that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on, and we're at the end of the week, and we don't know what we're going to get. And the fact that I don't want you to move, because we'll be right back.
Cervical cancer is one of the leading causes of death of women due to cancer around the world, mainly affecting women in developing countries. We now know that cervical cancer is caused by the human papillomavirus, HPV. Currently, we have two ways of preventing cervical cancer. If you are a young girl, you can get vaccinated, and you can get screened and properly treated when older. We want these solutions to be available in the most needed countries. As the number of new cases of cervical cancer are growing each year, current services are not having the national impact we would like on the statistics. But if each country follows the World Health Organization guidelines, the impact will be seen earlier if we ensure that all girls and women have access to vaccination, screening, and if needed, treatment. We can eliminate this cancer, saving millions of lives, because this is a completely preventable disease.
Good morning to you again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. We get to do whatever we want to do. And talking to the men is what we'll do today. And we're so happy that we're at the end of our work week. You know, everybody can now get a little weekend break, and God has been so gracious to spare our lives that we get to see another weekend. All right. So what we talking about today? Okay, y'all. We're just going to call these last couple of years parents going buck wild. It's almost like if a parent isn't in the news for doing something stupid, it just wouldn't be normal any longer. Well, we got a story going down up in the mountains, and we're talking about these two parents. And that's the other thing. How do we not get one parent in a who got some kind of sense? So we got these two parents facing criminal charges after the police in Vermont say they left their child alone in a freezing car to go skiing. Now, you should have known when I said Vermont, it was going to be about some skiing. Yes. Okay, so here's how the story goes. These two dodo birds wanted to go skiing where they work. Now, they both work at this ski resort in Vermont, and they have a two-year-old child. And they left the child unattended in the car, they say, and it was approximately 28 degrees that particular day. And they say that the parents were spotted nearby going up and down on the, what do you call that thing, where they go on the, where you get up on the ski lift. That's what I want to say. On the ski lift, excuse me, and they say that this went on for the entire day, okay? Now, somehow or another, the woman, was, the mom was found to be, like, she was staggering or something, because they say that she was under the influence of alcohol, and that's one of the things that kind of caught their attention, because, you know, they kind of watch, you know, for, like, people who are drinking and things like that, because you're a liability, you know, to the ski resort. So they spotted some this activity. They had been watching them, and as they were watching them, they saw they one thing they noticed was that they were employees, that they worked for the place, and they say they both accessed that lift 10 times that day. 10 times. And somehow or another, after watching them, they found that they had left the child by itself, okay, all day in 28 degrees. Now, when have you ever known, you know, a ski resort? You know, these people are dressed. They got on boots and snow suits and hats and gloves and all of this kind of stuff, and you left a child in the car by itself, 2 years old, all day. And they admitted that they had left the child alone while they skied, but they had been checking on the child after each run. Now, that was their excuse. That was their defense. We know we left the child, but we were checking on the child after each ski lift finish, after each run. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. You know, they didn't went to file taxes. Jesus, please help us. These parents didn't went to file taxes. They didn't went on shopping sprees. What is the matter? Where's the breakdown, y'all? Help me out here. You left a two-year-old in a car all day. Now, here's the thing. Did you leave that car running? Because you know you're not supposed to be doing that. Well, they were both charged with cruelty to a child. I don't know what kind of time they get, but I would love to follow this story, because anytime your greatest defense is the fact that you were checking the child for the child each time you got off of the lift, then something wrong. Well, you know what? They were drunk anyway, so, you know, are you really surprised? All right, y'all. So here we go again with what did you do with the pandemic money? Now, remember, that ain't what I asked before. That's not what I asked before. You know, what'd you do with your check? This is, you know, this comes from, you know, that long list that we've done several stories on, you know, what these people did when they got, like, that pandemic relief loan, or, you know, when they got that PPE loan. Yes. Well, a woman in Florida decided she was going to be just a little different. And she used her money from the pandemic relief loan to hire a hitman to murder a rival who had dated her ex-boyfriend. Okay? So they have Jasmine Martinez used her paycheck from the, you know, from her loan, her check from the loan, to pay a gunman who fatally shot Miss LaShonta Jones and wounded her 3-year-old son in broad daylight. In broad daylight, back in May of 21. Now it says that she withdrew more than $10,000 in the days before the shooting, after she got $15,000 from the government. So you got $15,000, and 10 of it went to your your shooting business. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. So she supposedly had like a single employee beauty salon. And she applied for this loan, and that's what they gave her. They gave her $15,000. And I guess the hair didn't need to be done as much as Ms. Jones needed to be done or done away with. So she allegedly hired some Robinson, and Javon Carter. And she got them. She showed them a video and pictures of who this chick was supposed to be, this woman. Not chick, because she's the dead one. And she got to planning, okay? And she's a TSA worker. So it's not even like she didn't have, like, a decent job or whatever have you. But, yeah. I'm sorry. The woman who was murdered was a TSA worker. And somehow or another, they got into it because, you know, Ms. Jones was dating, you know, Ms. Martinez's ex. I mean, are we really still there? Do we really still kill people over who dated somebody that we were with? That's really important now? Oh, I guess it is. And, yeah, so that's how it went down. She hired these two guys, and right in broad daylight, they even have them on video. Yes, they have the gunman on video actually killing this woman and injuring her 3-year-old son. So, you know, this ain't going to go well for her. This is not going to go well for her. And, you know, I don't know. It doesn't say whether she has any children or not. But, you know, I don't know. It's like, you know, we've talked about this before. What happened to just moving on? You know, you and I don't work. That's fine. You go east, I go west, and we call it a day. I don't understand why, you know, this is such a hard thing to do. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. Y'all got to help me out. Y'all got to help me out. There's another story. There's two other stories, but I'm going to talk about these three with the, you know, talk about these three first, and then I'm going to give our other story to the men, and we're going to talk about that as our main topic today. I think I'm going to switch it up and do it like that. But here we have another story. Now, I need you all to weigh in on this. So please listen with the intent on letting me know what you think. So there is a gentleman who's 21 years old in Louisville, Kentucky. And he's accused of trying to shoot a Louisville mayoral candidate, and his name is Craig Greenberg, on Monday morning. Okay? Now, they say that he's out on $100,000 bail. Now, he pled not guilty to one count of attempted murder and 4 counts of wanton endangerment. Now, I don't know what that means, but I guess we'll figure it out later. And that, you know, Mr. Greenberg said he was leaving the office, he and 4 colleagues, and this guy, Mr. Brown, yep, that's his name, Mr. Brown approached him, and he pulled out a gun and started shooting. So let's go over this again. He and 4 other colleagues were leaving the campaign office when this Mr. Brown approached them in the doorway, pulled a gun, and started shooting. Well, thank God nobody was injured, but they say that Mr. Greenberg's sweater was grazed by one of the bullets, and they say about he had a 9mm Glock and multiple magazines when the officers found him. And didn't we talk about all of this, these magazines and all this stuff? That means that there was a serious intent to do some murdering. Okay, this wasn't no, I think I want to do this. This was, I got gun, I got magazines, I'm prepared to shoot and kill this man or these men. We don't know at this point, right? All right, well, later on, when the Black Lives Matter chapter that's down in Louisville heard about all of this, they went and post bail for him. Now, here's the problem. They post bail after finding out that Mr. Brown is severely mentally ill and needs treatment. So their thought was, we're going to bail him out. We're going to see to it that he gets treatment, because people who get locked up don't get the treatment, but we're going to help connect him with people and get him some mental health counseling as he's awaiting trial. So he'll get this mental health counseling while he's out in the street. Now, let's run this back. He's not going to be in a facility. He's not going to be in a mental health facility. He is going to walk freely, and we're going to get him some mental health counseling. And that was our job. Now, I understand the point of, because we talk about this all the time, you know, these people who have these mental illnesses and they commit these crimes, you know, and they go to jail, they're not going to get this, the treatment. They're just going to be locked up. And they actually need the treatment. They need some level of, you know, rehabilitation and speaking to someone on in the mental health field on a regular basis, because, you know, when you lock them up, that's all you're doing. You're just locking them up. So, you know, if they should ever come out, they're not really going to be ready for society. They're really not going to be rehabilitated or aided in any way. They're just going to have served time and hit the streets. You have the Black Lives Matter. I guess they're saying this Black Lives Matters. And they're going to post bail for him. And they're going to allow him to walk the streets while he gets mental health counseling. Well, I got a couple questions. Who assigned you to this situation? That's the first thing I want to know. Because my question is, did somebody in the mental health field go in and assess him on your behalf for his, you know, for his benefit, and then decide, okay, you know what? He's got a mental health issue, and we don't want to see him in here, so we're going to get him counseling. Because I'm sorry, somebody who walked around with how many magazines? Four magazines, a 9mm Glock and multiple magazines don't just need no mental health counseling. I'm sorry. That's now that calls Stephanie crazy, but I'm sorry. You need a little more than some counseling. So who's babysitting? That's the next question. Who's babysitting? Who's ensuring he goes to all of his counseling sessions? Who's ensuring that he's not a menace to himself or to the community? Who's monitoring this man? Somebody help me understand how, you know, should they have stepped in? And if they should have, if in your opinion, they should have stepped in, then in what capacity? What should they have been doing when they decided to step in? Because I'm sorry. Now, maybe what we could have done was fought it while you were on the inside. Because, yes, I agree 100% that simple jail, prison, whatever you want to call it, because I ain't splitting hairs, is jailing me. When you go away, it is not addressing your mental illness. It's not. But remember, jail is not that's not what it's for. So when you have these people who are mentally ill and they commit these kind of crimes, or you know, they're really showing that they really need some assistance in the mental health department, then that has to be fought. That's what he has a lawyer for. Now, some might say, well, you know, he ain't going to have a good lawyer. He ain't going to be able to pay one. He's going to get someone for free, and they ain't going to work towards. Then you know what? Take that money and hire him a lawyer. It's done all the time. All of these, you know, different organizations, the NAACP and all that, y'all hire him a lawyer and y'all fight for him, you know, get the first step. Maybe he can get, you know, he can get put in another, you know, ward of the prison or something like that. And at least that way he, you know, he's getting some assistance. And then you fight for him to go into a mental facility or whatever, you know, while he fights the case. But to take your money and put him on the street, and like I said, I'm asking, you know, what happens? Again, you know, what's the plan? Because see, this ain't a plan. To bail him out and put him on the street so he can get mental health counseling, in my opinion, is not a plan. What happens going further? What happens if he gets his hands on another weapon? Because they never said why he targeted, you know, this council person. There was no explanation. All they say is that he was a former intern and editorial writer for the Courier Journal. And they say that in the summer of 21, he disappeared and was considered missing for 2 weeks before he was found safe on July 1st. Well, is this kind of proving my point? Because that was last July 1st. Well, they say on Monday, February 14th of 2022, is when he committed this crime. And his bail was $100,000, and you put that money out for him to walk the streets, because that's the only thing I could see and I could hear. So I'm sorry. This makes no sense to me. I think you stepped in, and you stepped in incorrectly without a proper plan, even for his own safety. even for his own safety. You know, he just happened to turn that gun on those four, you know, on that one man with those four colleagues. Who's to say that he will not turn the gun on himself? So he can be in, you know, in danger, you know, just me, myself, and I. There could be an issue there. So I don't know. Give me a hit, 347-285-7777. What do you think? What do you think? Well, I got Pastor KL on the phone and on the line, and he's in transit. Oh, he just dropped. Okay. Hopefully he'll call back. But, I definitely want to hear from the gentleman today before we, you know, touch on our different conversation and our different topic this morning. You know, again, you know, we really need to address these things here and what these people do, because I don't know if everybody's moving with the right intent. So let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing quite well.
All right, good, good, good. Well, let's talk about some of these stories. So we got the two parents who were working, and not just working, or they were employees, I should say. They were employees. And, you know, they wanted to go skiing for the day. And the baby was just a, you know, in the way. So they left the baby in the car, 2 years old, all day, while they, you know, went up and down the ski slopes. And, you know, they don't want to be considered, you know, inconsiderate as to the child's existence, because they checked on the child after each time they came off the lift. After each round, they checked on the child. What's wrong with this story?
Well, it seems to me that they left the child responsibly. You know how they say drink responsibly? They left the child responsibly. You know, they went back and forth to watch the child. But I think it's kind of crazy. First of all, why would you take a child to an event like this when you know, one, the child can't get on those skis. There's no daycare for the child. You work at this facility, so you know there's no monitoring of the children, number two. And three, it's too cold outside. So, you know, like you asked, was the car still on? And if, even if so, you know, why would you leave a child in a car that's on 2 years old?
That's right.
So
that's right.
You went up there 10 different times. So when did the child eat? When did you change the child? When did you make sure the child was, I mean, I'm just not understanding how that worked out.
You know, here's my thought and my question. You know, because you're raising all the questions that came through my head. And, you know, a week or so ago, we covered the mom who, you know, remember the two mothers who left the children in the home? There was five children in all, the pregnant mom who went to do her taxes. Another week we did the mom left the child home, the two kids home. Remember the two sets of twins were killed in the fire because...
Right.
You needed to go shopping. Where's the breakdown of parenting these days? You know, it's almost like you just have the kids and that's it, and they become, you know, a problem. You know, they're in the way. You know, what is happening where we can't get our priorities together? The other mother who left the children in the home over the weekend and they didn't go to school on Monday because she went to Florida with the boyfriend. It's like this seems to be the trend now, not being a good parent, but being a low-life parent. What seems to be the breakdown in your head?
Well, the breakdown is, again, you know, like I always say, children are having children. So, I mean, they don't even know how to be a parent. And then their parents probably wasn't parents. So there's no role models to look at. You know, so here I am now with the child, you know, because I did something irresponsibly. You know, because a lot of times, you know, this is not Planned Parenthood where we say we're going to have a child together. It's, oh, my God, I'm pregnant. Now I'm going to keep the baby because it's bad not to keep the baby. But you know, just because you don't terminate the pregnancy don't mean you have to keep the child if you're not ready to be a parent. There's a whole lot of facilities. You know, there's a whole lot of people who can't have children who would love to take care of your child. And now this child has become a burden on you, and you don't know how to deal with this child, so this is the only way you deal with it. You know, you don't deal with it. You know, and now we're caught out there where, you know, taxpayers are paying for your mistakes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And unfortunately, the taxpayers are paying for your mistakes as well as the children that you brought here who didn't ask to come here. They're paying for your mistakes as well, because I couldn't imagine. You know, remember back in the day, you know, well, let me say this. Yesterday I was talking to my doctor, and he was telling me how his parents, his mom, and he's an older gentleman. I believe Dr. Satterfield is like 73, 74 years old. And he was telling me how, you know, back in the day, his mother, his father left school when he was in the sixth grade because he had to take care of the family. He had to work and take care of the family. Mom had to leave school in the seventh grade because she was from a big family and they needed the help. Parents needed the help, and the children stopped going to school, but also helped in raising the children. So we do know that, you know, not good, bad, right, wrong, indifferent. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about in the day where, you know, your children helped to take care of the children. And yet this set can't seem to get this thing here done. Remember back in the day where, you know, the older kids helped to take care of the younger kids?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, back in the day, it was more family-oriented, you know,
right,
where we understood that, you know, everybody had to pitch in, no matter what. I mean, you went out and you sell newspaper, you know, to help mom, help dad with the bill. You know, now these children, because of their entitlement, you know, hey, I ain't asked you to have another baby. I ain't asked for a brother or sister. Why I need to take care of that brother and sister? You know what I mean? We've spoiled these children so much to make them believe that they are on the top of the cattle list that they don't have to do nothing else. They won't work for themselves, let alone work for the family.
No, and it goes back to what you said. You know, they're having these children, and they don't have a clue. There's no real love. There's no real responsibility. There's no real parental connection with these, you know, with these children, that you could think about your activities, that you could think about your pastimes, your extracurricular activities before, you know, you would even consider the child. See, y'all riding the lift all day long where you work.
Right.
That means you have access all the time to this. So you mean to tell me that, you know, the two of y'all couldn't have found somebody to watch the baby for even half the day so y'all could go and have a little, you know, couple of runs on the ski lift, and you couldn't even take turns staying home?
But you know what, too, Pastor Steph, and just what we were talking about earlier, you know, sometimes when you don't have that loving situation in your house, you know, you want a baby, you know, because you want somebody to love you. Not,
right.
but you don't understand that you have to love it back.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes we want this attention, and we want something to love us because we feel like our parents hadn't given us enough attention. But just like you feel that way, your child is going to feel that way. Can you reciprocate
right.
what you want? You know, we want something to love us, but they don't understand all that it takes and all the sacrifice it's going to take for you to love it back.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what they need to go back to? They need to go back to, you know, remember they were doing the experiments with the egg or the little doll or the stuffed animal,
right.
You know, and make them, you know, carry it around all day so that they can get a real good concept.
Really?
I mean, it's not a full concept, but at least it's some drop in the bucket of understanding,
right.
You know, like you said, hey, you know, you're going to have to, you know, do for this baby regardless of why you may have wanted a baby. Because how many times have we heard, especially the young ladies say, you know, I had the baby because I wanted somebody to love me, you know, and they're living in this fantasy world, like you said, that all they're going to do is that baby's going to love them, but the baby has needs, like you said. So there's no way in the world, you know, even when we do, like I said, the egg and the doll and the thing, but at least at some level of responsibility. I remember seeing on TV, you know, where the boy, she showed up to class and he didn't have the egg in his hat and he was like, oh my gosh, I don't have the egg and that makes me a bad father. And, you know, so there's some level, you know, even if it's a small amount of understanding of, you know, I got to be responsible for another life. And
I
don't know what we're going to need to do to get this point across, you know, because there's too much. There's just way too much of this going on now. I have never in my life seen such a group of irresponsible people, you know, just mistreating these children. It's so sad. It is so sad. So sad. So let's switch gears right now. We're talking about, listen, I have a hair salon and I need help and I file for a loan. They give me $15,000 and I take $10,000 and hire 2 hitmen. And they actually carry out this murder of this young woman and her and injuring her 3-year-old son. Yet again, the mind of these young people, because you're messing with my ex.
Yeah, I think that's kind of crazy. First of all, when you said the name Javon, I had to make sure Javon was next to me.
You know
I
what?
I wasn't sleeping with the enemy. You know what I mean?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I was okay. But, yeah, I think
thank God for that.
Right, right. And that shows where people cannot move on. You know, you have to move on from situations and not hold on to that. If it's your ex, then it's your ex. Why are we still trying to control the situation of your ex? You know, and then you get all this money, you know, from the state, the government, $15,000, you know, and you're going to spend $10,000 of it to get somebody killed because of your ex? Oh, no, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
It is, and if somebody passed the kale, who's not thinking about you anymore?
Right.
That's
right.
The thing that keeps going on in my head. That person, he or she, is not about you anymore.
Right. So they moved on with their life. You know what I mean? And not only that, it doesn't bring that person, it doesn't motivate that person to come back to you.
Right.
You know, so now that, oh my God, she really loves me. She would kill for me. Let me go back. No, you kill for me, you'll kill me.
Right. Because can I really trust you to be sane right now? If I don't piss you off, you know, enough, Now I got to worry about you coming after me or possibly hiring somebody to kill me. Can I really trust your mental stability?
No. Listen, it does all I can do to stay on my wife's good side because she's in the medical field. You know, she can kill me.
So I'm trying to be nice. Listen, you know, this stuff is real out here. And like you said, it doesn't motivate a person to want to be with you, you know, when you go to these lengths. First of all, I'm going to be mad that you spend $10,000 just to even get this job done. So we're $10,000 short because you can't control your emotions enough to just, A, move on. B, you know, you've heard of people reconciling later on, you know, down the line in their life, you know, they reconcile with someone who, you know, they didn't think they could be with, but they, you know, matured at a later date and they were able to, you know, to be together. And it's like, okay, that is a possibility. But if not, it's okay.
Because if you're that smart, give me the $10,000, I'll come back.
Now that's a plan.
You get me to take off. I'll come. We can work it out, baby. I know you love it.
You know, and as crazy as that is, I mean that would make more sense to try to buy the person. I'm not saying it. Don't be walking away, y'all, telling people that Pastor Steph said, you know, yeah, buy them back. But let's be realistic. You know, if you paying the person off and they don't really know, you know, they don't care about you paying them off, then there's a possibility that you could be with the person for a little while. Now, it may not
everybody
be under the right pretense, but, you know. But
everybody
got a price, baby.
Everybody got a price.
That's right, you know. Hey, it might work for a couple of months. But, you know, now you're going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And now ain't nobody back with you but Big Bertha, you know. And,
that's
and,
Big
it's
Shirley.
Just so silly. Yes, it's just
silly. And now again, look what we did to the child. Now your child has gotten hurt, and now your child is without his mother.
No. Remember now, the baby, the 3-year-old belongs to the woman they murdered.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yes.
Wow.
In
the same token, we done hurt somebody else.
Right.
Who was innocent
That's
in the
right.
whole thing.
That's right. A baby.
And the woman who got killed was innocent too. She might not even know that was your ex.
Absolutely. Listen, first of all, even if I know it's your ex, I'm innocent. This is my life. I can date who I want to date. Now, the fact that you can't seem to separate from this person, you know, that's an issue that you have. But I'm free to date whoever I want to date. Now, they're not saying that he cheated on her and now you want to blame her, you know, or something like that for cheating, you know. And this is an ex. This is a person where you two are no longer together. So
yeah,
now you shoot
cheated on her, then she killed the wrong person.
Right.
He's too mad at the wrong
person. Absolutely. You know, so I don't, the mental illness is really, really running a whole lot more rampant than we think. And, you know, unfortunately, another young life down, you know, lost to some senselessness and another possible orphan child, because we don't know if the child is the father is in this child's life. So now you have another child walking around out here without a mother. And, you know, how do you live with this? Because let me tell you something. If you knew enough to send these two after her, you knew she had that 3-year-old.
Right.
So you didn't care about anything. You didn't care about anything. You didn't care about yourself. You didn't care about her. You didn't care about the child. And I'm curious as to if you had a child. I would love to know that much. You know, and what does that, how does that leave your child or children? Right. Come on, talk about mental illness. What's going on with this Black Lives Matter Louisville chapter bailing this attempted murderer out of jail so that he could get mental health counseling? What's your thought on this?
I think you just put a murder out on laws. I mean, I don't think that's going to help him. You know, and then why do you take that kind of chance? You know, he can go and kill other folks. So until I get myself together mentally, I'm just out here willy-nilly. You're not putting
right.
me in a facility. You're letting me go home and go see the doctor. You know
right.
what I mean?
That's
the
right.
problem. But between right. my house and the doctor's office are many people. And,
right.
and anything,
right.
a magazine, anything can trigger me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, no.
Yes.
Listen, I'm sitting in traffic. So should I get out of traffic and start shooting all these cars because they're in my way?
Yeah. We've seen people do it. We've seen
right.
people for multiple reasons that we would just shrug off that is upsetting to them. And now they go on some killing spree. Again, like you said, that's my argument. My argument is you're getting him help, which is a noble thing to do. But considering the potential danger that this community is in, or he can travel to another place, another state, or kill himself, or the mentor, or the doctor. Who knows? You know, you really, because we don't know how long it's going to take for him to become stable.
Right.
Come on, how mentally ill are you, Pastor KL, when you walk up on a person with a 9mm Glock and 4 magazines? You're really planning on killing somebody. So you are really kind of out there. This ain't going to be no overnight thing.
And this stuff is premeditated.
Yes.
Mean, you haven't thought about this thing.
That's my point.
And that's the problem.
That's exactly my point. For whatever the reason is, he actually planned this. So when you say you are going to get him out of jail to walk the streets, you're giving him another opportunity to plan.
Right.
Did anybody consider this? What'd you say?
You're giving him too much time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
To think about all the stuff. You know, now if you were to take him from prison or from jail, whatever you want to call it, into a facility, then
right.
that's different.
Right.
You know, but
right.
well, you just say, okay, go home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. It's Thursday. Go home. We'll talk about it on Monday session. Come on now.
Yep. Yep. Okay, so I got a bigger question.
Mm-hmm.
Should, let's say for argument's sake, God forbid, you find out later that he now attempts another murder. Should this Black Lives Matter chapter be held responsible?
Absolutely. You know, listen, we got to stop hiding on these certain Lives Matter concepts. You know, we hide behind these billboards and we make foolish decisions sometimes. You know, like I often say, sometimes black lives only matter when the other race is messing with us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We killing each other and we don't seem to matter to each other.
Right.
You know, so
right.
when we make these decisions, you know, broad like that, we have to pay for that when it don't go right. You know, we was talking
yep.
about the other day, I think it's the mayor or somebody who wanted to do these gun charges or all these criminals. You know, now stuff comes back to bite you in the behind. Someone has to pay for these decisions that we're making. Guess what? When I don't pay my mortgage, it goes into foreclosure. You know what I mean?
You
have to be held responsible. When you don't pay your power bill, you live in the dark.
Right. Well, I'm going to jump on what you're saying. Okay, so you have this Black Lives Matter movement who wants to prove something. If he commits another crime, do those lives matter? Did those lives matter?
Right, exactly.
Did those lives matter?
You know, and then you know what? I hate to say it, but the other half, you know, they get mad when we keep on saying Black Lives Matter because they say all lives matter. Yes, all lives matter. And this just proves, you know what I'm saying, that all lives matter. You know, we can't run behind the carpet or the blanket of one slogan and then go on and kill everybody else.
Absolutely.
In the name of Black Lives Matter.
Absolutely. And that's the scary part. You know, you get mad when, you know, these other people take a stand or they make a statement, and now you've got this type of movement. You know, you're so busy trying to prove a point that you endanger all lives. And
you really
did a bad job with proving a point. Let's see what Brother Al has to say about this, Pastor KL. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "Well, I know the plans I have for you." Period. So let us do what
you know.
Do. Oh, yeah.
You know, we're putting a period there, Brother Al. Oh my goodness. Well, listen, Brother Al, we're in this conversation of this Black Lives Matter Louisville chapter. You know, posting bail for this mentally ill individual who attempted murder. Well, what's your thought? What do you think? Did we just lose Brother Al?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking to the mute button. My bad.
Oh, okay.
I was wondering
what happened.
My fault.
Okay. What's your
thought? I'm talking the way I can. You know, I was listening to some of the things you were saying, and you hit it right on the head. You know, they get these people and they put them in jail, but they don't give them no help. You know, it's just like you take a pedophile and put him in jail. Okay, he did 5 years. He come back out, he's still a pedophile. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, he should be off the street. They need to find out why you did it. Why did you target this person? What made this person so bad that you wanted to kill them? And then start getting this person help while you got this person off the street. Because you definitely need to be off the street. Definitely.
Well, they seem to put him back on the street. They put him back on the street, Brother Al.
Yeah, and you know why? It's like I said, I've been watching this closely. They come up with a thing and said mental health. Okay, we all know mental health is real. But they have no clue on how to deal with it. So they figure the best way to do it is, oh, okay, we got it. We talked to him. All right, he's okay, put him back out on the street. So it's like, how many people he going to have to take down before you say, okay, you know what? You know, y'all are expert at anything else. So they don't have a clue. That's why they did that.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they could have done something better with that money because, God forbid, he goes out here and he kills someone else. Are you going to take your money now and pay burial expenses or take care of this family for the rest of, you know, rest of their life because this man was out on the street? Let me tell you, let me say something to you gentlemen. I would never want to be the decision maker on this one because when this goes bad, you're going to have to live with this one. You're going to have to. What do you think, Brother Al?
Oh, yeah, definitely, because you know, everybody looking at you, okay, what? Because, again, like you said, they already lost, so now they're looking at you, okay, how do we handle this situation? What you think? And once you say that, they're like, okay, let's roll with it. Then once it goes bad, you getting kicked, ran over all over that, under the bus.
That's right, because ain't nobody standing with you then, huh?
Exactly.
who's standing with you. Pastor KL, would you want to be the one to make this decision?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. First of all, I wouldn't have made that decision. You know, if he was in jail, he would have been in jail. I'd have put a few dollars on your books. I came to see you. We'd have talked about it. But I wouldn't have said, you know, there would not have been no sign saying, free the homies. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have no sign like that. You know, Black Lives Matter, let's freedom. No. You know, because listen, quiet as a cat, you know, all black men are not innocent men.
Right.
We hate to say it like that, but it's not. So I'm going to put my blanket, my reputation on the line for someone who blatantly tried to kill somebody.
That's the scary part. We're not talking about, you know, a minor crime. You know, we're talking about he had a 9mm Glock with several magazines. And I keep saying that because that is indication that he came to do some business. He came to do harm. And you literally signed the check for this man to walk the street to get mental health counseling. Counseling already says that this is a back and forth thing. And if we go back into any level of quarantine, that means you on Zoom. Yo, this is crazy. This is crazy.
But you know what also? Counseling speaks that there is a problem. That's why you need counseling. You know, so first and foremost, you recognize by saying counseling that there is a problem. So if there is a problem, it's not a potential problem. There is a problem. So if there is a problem and you trying to kill folks, then you need to either go into a facility or stay in jail. You don't need to be because, again, you need counseling.
Right, because you have a problem. Absolutely.
Right.
All right, gentlemen. I got a woman's dilemma, and I want to throw this out to the gentlemen. So, this she's a mom to be, and she's married, and she and her husband were at odds because her due date, a potential due date, was on the same day as the new Batman movie was debuting. And somehow or another, they got into the conversation about where he would be during her delivery. And the fact that this was on the same day as the new Batman movie being released. So he told her, well, if the baby is coming and I'm buying my ticket to this Batman movie, if the baby should arrive on that particular day, then it's not my fault because, A, it was only an estimated due date. So, you know, it wasn't my fault that the baby decided to come on that day. And only, you know, some of the babies, don't even worry about it because only some of the babies are actually born on their due date. And you don't understand. I need to go to the movie on the first day because of the spoilers. And I don't want to be hearing about it afterwards. And I could have actually been there to see him, to see the movie. And what's the big deal? It's not such a big deal. I'm going to be spending the rest of the baby's life with it, and you're just emotional. You know, if you weren't pregnant, and this was another dilemma of me going to the movies or another activity, it wouldn't really be a big issue because, you know, you're being irrational because you're pregnant right now. And this is all your hormones. All right. So, Brother Al, I'm going to throw it out to you first. The question is, he poses it this to his boys, and they're saying that they agree. She's being irrational and emotional. This is only one day. If they're married, not like they're dating, they're married, and he's in this for the long haul. And, you know, she should know that he's going to spend the rest of the baby's life, you know, with it. And she needs to cut it out.
Well, there you have it right there. You got a whole crew of mentally ill people. See what I'm saying? It's right there. Right there in front of your face. It's right there in front of your face that mental health is important. You know, for you to even say something, that, I mean, and your friends, so your friends, this is crazy as you are. This is an important day. I tell people all the time, if you've never been in that delivery room to see your child born, you are missing out, because I was just in awe, you know, and for his friends to even back that up over a movie that's going to be playing for God knows how long, and then when it's finished that, it's going to be on cable. Okay, you're worrying about a spoiler. Don't be around people. You know, he's nuts. Like, this is the most important thing. I'm going to say one of the most important things. Your child is being born, and you want to sit there and watch Batman. Are you serious? So now if she's wrong, if she gets somebody else to be in the delivery room with her, you can be mad, right? Crazy. Mental health.
Yeah. Good way to start, Brother Al. Pastor KL.
Wow. See, this is the reason why you get a fire stick. You know, you get a fire stick, you can watch the movie, you know, while you're in the waiting area. You know, but I heard you say something about, you know, he didn't want the spoiler. And right away, you know how you women are. My wife just jumped up and talked about your body won't spoil in the morgue. I don't think that's a good idea. You know, the only comeback you're going to do from that is you're going to name your child Bruce Wayne or something. But, I mean, I'm going to the hospital. I'm going to act like Robin. She's going to be Batman. I'm going to be Robin. I'm going straight to the hospital.
You know.
And then your friends talk all that junk, but they ain't got no room for you.
Well, right.
You put your behind out. You can't stay at their house. Especially if they married, because they don't want no other grown man staying in the house.
Right. You know, talk about priority, gentlemen. You know, here's my question. The thought pattern is, well, you're married, you're not dating, and you're gonna be with these children, you know, this woman and this child. But can I ask, can I really rely on you to be there going forward when you're not there from this point, Brother Al?
Yeah, exactly. You're not there from that point. So what happens when the baby gets sick and the baby needs to go to the hospital and the new Superman movie out? And you're going to go to the movie and that's the first thing I'm sick. You know, so you setting the tone right there. Okay, the baby need diapers. Okay, right after Batman go off, I'll go get him some diapers. He's setting a tone right there, a bad tone.
Okay. Pastor KL, you're trying to convince me that, you know, hey, I'm gonna be there for the rest of the baby's life. I could miss the birth. You know, what's the big deal? Can I really rely on you to be there going forward if we're starting off like this?
Well, okay. Hold on. Because, you know, for the fellas who are listening, this weekend is the All-Star Weekend. You know?
Right.
And, you know, there's the dunking contest. Now, the baby can air dry for a little while. They don't need a pamper right away. You know what I mean?
You know
get through the dunk contest. You know what I'm saying?
You know what?
You know,
Pastor KL going down.
If Pastor KL falls off, Brother Al, we know that Javon didn't hit him over the head with something.
My wife said, I swear she's part of this day today. She said, you didn't miss the conception. How you going to miss anything else? So,
see, that's what I was waiting to hear. That's what I was waiting to hear. I thought that's what you were going to say. She said the first go round. I was like, wait a minute. When you came up with the other thing, I'm like, oh, she didn't say the other part? That's what I thought I was going to hear the first go round. Oh, ain't nobody missing the conception. No. We ain't missing that part of the party.
I just want to clear the record. I am not a part of Pastor Carol's nonsense.
But Pastor KL, can I really, in all seriousness, you know, can I really put my hat, throw my hat in the ring or lay my hand down to say, oh, absolutely, you know, I'm going to have him for the rest of the time the baby's going to be here, the child's going to be here, when I couldn't even rely on you to start off properly?
No, you really, really can't. And then what happens is that's going to turn into lying, because you're going to want me to do something and I'm going to say, well, you know, I had to work late or I had to do this. Make excuses on why I can't do it at the moment, because I can't now blatantly say no, because I know how you feel about the priority of the child. But if I want to do something else, you're going to make me start lying now. So, no, you can't really trust me or count on me.
No, I as a woman, you know, I wouldn't think so, but I wanted to definitely put that out there just in case you men felt any differently. Another thought that came to my mind was, is this the first time he's exemplified a lack of priority? Brother Al.
Nope, not at all. This is not the first time, because you're not going to just come out of this with the blue. And I'm quite sure she knew this when she got rid of him, because that ain't the first movie that came out, you know, that you know, so obviously he's into the Marvel movies, so, and they got tons of them. That's not the first one to come out, so, nah, he didn't done this before.
Okay. Pastor KL, would you say that this is, like, possible that, you know, this is his first infraction in this area?
No, I don't think so, because you were comfortable, you know, with saying, listen, if the baby come off, you know, you made it rational that, you know, the baby don't even come on his due date. You know, sometimes it comes afterwards, sometimes it comes before. So you was comfortable in making this an excuse. Not only that, you went to your boys to get validation. You know what I mean? You wanted them to say,
Wow. Yeah,
man, you was right. You know, when you go to your boys and start talking about your lady, you going for validation, because you know in your
right mind
you might be wrong, but if somebody can help you validate your nonsense, then you have more.
Right.
Listen, you ever get into a brawl and you know you can't fight, but your boy keeps
yep.
saying you can win, and all yep. of a sudden you take your non-fighting behind in this fight and get beat. You know what I'm saying? And none of
yep.
your boys jump in, though. They don't break it up, but
yep.
they validated it.
Yep. And that's
plus,
the other thing
boy,
I wanted
boy,
to talk
chicken.
About. What'd you say, Brother Al?
I said, and also, he probably bought tickets for his boys. He probably paid for everybody's tickets.
You never know. Or it was this boy's not out, and you didn't want to be the odd man out. You wanted to be a part of the group that went out.
That's
the other thing I wanted to bring up, you know. We look for validation in all of these places. And, you know, let's talk about this. I'm going to my boys to talk about my relationship, especially when it's gone wrong. Because, you know, as a woman, you know, I say, go ahead over there with them. Let's see if they can take care of you. Let's see if they can feed you. Let's see if they're going to take care of any of your needs, washing your clothes or whatever the situation is. You know, Brother Al, where do you find that men go wrong? Pastor Kale brought up, you know, this. You go there when you want to validate your wrong. But how else do you see they go wrong when they go to the boys, you know, when they're having problems with with their wives or relationship, in their relationship?
Well, one of the things is that they go wrong by going to their boy who don't think logically. You can't go to a person. It's like I couldn't go to my friend and talk to him about something going on in my relationship if he feels that he's the king of his house, he run it, whatever he says goes. That's not the right person to talk to because he's going to try to get my frame of mind and his same frame of thought. So we go talk to people that's not on the same thinking level like us. You have to talk to somebody who can think logically about things. You know, who's going to be honest with you and say, hey, listen, this is what it is. Hey, you were wrong. Not afraid to tell you, yeah, listen, you were wrong for that. You need to apologize to your mom. So we pick people, and sometimes we pick that person because we know that person going to be on our side. So you know what? Now, I ain't going to talk to Johnny. Let me go talk to Mark. Mark understand, because you know Mark won't agree with everything you say. So those are the bad mistakes.
All right, all right. That good one, Brother Al, good one. Pastor KL, you know, we're talking about, you know, like you said, you're going to them for validation. You know, what other times is it going to the boy ain't boys ain't the right thing to do?
Well, this is the big one. When you go to your boys for single and you're married, they have nothing to lose. They have no advice to give you because they're not even in a relationship. They're not even dating, let alone being in a marriage. And then listen, there's a difference between dating and then being married. Those are two different relationships. So even if you give me a dating advice, it's going to help my marriage. You know? So this
right.
is the problem. We know the people, you know, who has no experience. You know, marriage, man, listen, marriage is a big thing. You know, and the longer you're married, the more things you find out about that other person. You know, so here you are, you've never been married, you've never been in a relationship more than 6 months, and I'm going to you for validation, I'm the idiot.
Okay. Woo, good stuff. I want to ask you gentlemen to school our ladies and give some indicators that they don't have their priorities together in the dating phase. When you see this in the dating phase, this means he does this. His priorities are out of order. Come on, Brother Al, what's one of them?
Well, one of them is let me see here. There's so many of them. One of them is communicating. He can't communicate with you. You know, every time you go to talk to him about something, he shuts down because he figures, okay, well, if I don't answer, don't say that, it'll go away. So I would definitely say the communication part, you try your hardest to communicate, and he won't communicate. So he ain't got that in order yet.
Okay. Pastor KL, what are the things that you need to put those antennas up and show his priorities are out of order?
Pastor,
you talking to the mute button?
Yeah, I was. I'm sorry. And I said a lot of good stuff, too. My wife was clapping. But
you know what? I bet.
Listen, one of the biggest things is when you can't never find me. When we're supposed to be somewhere at 6 o'clock and I show up at 7 o'clock. You know, when I don't even call to let you know I'm running late. I just show up because I can. And now you in the corner, you mad. And now I don't even care that you're mad. Let's go, because I'm here
now.
That's
an
indication.
Wow, that's a big one. That's a big one. Men are always complaining that the ladies take too long and women are always late. But, yeah, you guys are bringing up some good stuff. Come on, Brother Al, what's another one?
Okay. Another one is, let's see here. Oh, another one is he don't know how to handle his money. Okay, we supposed to go out to dinner tonight. All right, we going out to dinner. We going to this nice restaurant. Then he come to you, Stan, and baby, look, we going to because the dollar a little bit short. But why are you short? Oh, you know, I bought them Batman tickets and they was a little bit more than I expected. I bought them Batman tickets and it was a little bit more than I expected. So we're going to have to downgrade a little bit. We're going to have to downgrade a little bit. Or if you got $30 on you, we can go where we said we was going to go.
Wow, brother Al, wow. Oh, my goodness. That's a good one. Come on, Pastor Cale. What's another indicator? Keep thinking, brother Al. I'm coming back. Because we're going to school these ladies today. What is another area that shows in the dating phase that he does not have his priorities together?
When her children are not your priority, when all you want to say, well, can't you get a babysitter? Why they got to be home tonight? What time they go to sleep?
Wow.
You know, that's the problem.
Wow. Well, tell them why that's a problem.
Say that again?
Tell the ladies why that's a problem.
Well, I think it's a problem because it shows how lack of interest they take in your life. You know, because your children is part of your life. So if I don't care about your children and I always want your children to be gone or asleep, then I don't really care about you. Because in reality, if we come together, I'm going to have to deal with baby kids. And if I can't deal with it on a dating issue, there's no way in the world we can get married.
And that is such a relevant point, you know, because when you are finally together, if you should get that far, these kids are going to be in there for the long run. They're not going nowhere, and they're not going to always be asleep, and they're not going to always be gone. So, you know, this is good stuff. Come on, Brother Al, give us another good one.
Okay. Another good one is where, you know, he spend more time with his boys than he spend with you. So he's hanging with his boy. Every time you were, well, I already told Craig and them that we was going to go down to the pool. Every time you asked him to go out, he out with Craig and them. You know what I'm saying? So he's spending more time with his boys than with you. So that priority is not in order at all.
Wow. Good one, Brother Al. Good one. Come on, Pastor KL.
All right. When your man is on Facebook more than you, that's an issue.
Wow.
When he posted up on Facebook and looking at other people's folks that are on TikTok and TikTok more than you, that's an issue. That means that he's not paying no attention to you. He's just paying attention to him. Wait. And then when he begins to like everybody else's posts and ignores all of yours, there's a problem.
Oh, you know how many women I've heard say, you know, how are you in there liking all these, this one and that one's posts, and yet he's not even liking none of my posts. Yes,
right.
I have definitely gotten that complaint from some women. Brother Al, you are definitely one who has repeatedly talked about that where I'm trying to talk to you and you on the social media site.
Oh yeah, I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
That's always been a bone of contention for you here.
Yeah.
We definitely remember that one. Come on, give me one more, Brother Al. Give me one more round.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a real good one. This one right here, where every time you go out with him, you round his boys, you round his family, and all he introduced you as, oh, this is my friend. He ain't even claiming you. He just says, oh, yeah, this is my friend right here. You know, so he out and over, and he don't have enough respect to say, this is my lady, or whatever. He just always introducing you to everybody as you just his friend. Take a look at that.
All right. Come on, one more, Pastor KL, when we're talking about priorities. You know, how does that show up even in the dating phase?
When every time Y'all talk about going out to eat as a fast food restaurant. Y'all
you
gotta
know
have
what?
McDonald's. Y'all gotta have Wendy's. you don't care about you. If all you can have is a Happy Meal, it's time to get away from that relationship. And then when you finally treat him to a restaurant, he don't know how to eat with a fork and a knife. It's time for him to go.
Wow. You guys have done a phenomenal job indicating, you know, all of the ways that you may not be a priority. Oh, thank you so much. We so appreciate you. And we pray you have a blessed weekend. Safe travels, Pastor KL. And thank
you,
Brother
much.
Al. We pray that you have a blessed weekend.
Problem.
Thank you for sending us out big time.
Likewise.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Yeah. Always good to hear from our men on Fridays and get like a little nice jump start into our weekend. Well, it's come to that moment where we're holding hands and we're holding hearts. And we're going before the Lord together just one more time. Heavenly Father, Father of all mankind, we thank you, God. We always say thank you first because we couldn't imagine coming to you for anything, with anything, regarding anything, if we have not said thank you first for all of the love that you have displayed, all the times you have shown us that we are the priority. We never have to wait online. We never have to wait our turn. We never have to wait, period. Even when we are looking forward to an answer from you, we're not waiting in that sense. And we thank you because you're always providing. And we thank you for being that all-time provider. Even when we misprioritize, you know, and we don't do things in the right manner, even when we're making the wrong decisions, you always have our back, and we say thank you, God. Lord, we're talking today about a lack of prioritizing parents who they want to, you know, enjoy themselves before the children. We talk about, you know, the prioritizing of funds. You know, you rather spend money on hiring someone to murder. We're talking about another misprioritizing of money and responsibility. When you free someone who you know is mentally ill, we're talking about a father who would put off the time that he could spend with his wife and helping her and being a part of his child coming into this world. He tossed that up for a movie ticket. And Lord, we're grateful that we're here today, that even if we had some level of priority issues, that hopefully something said here today would jolt us into understanding what you are expecting of us, what you would have us to do, where we would be focused on you first, above and beyond everything and anything, before we would even focus on ourselves, that the priority would be someone else. Your word says, love thy neighbor as yourself. And we're looking here. You know, none of these individuals love themselves, because that's what is showing. How could they love themselves if they're making these kind of decisions? So, Lord, we're giving you thanks for a show such as is due time, where you just strategically point out the direction in which we should go. That you don't have to come with gongs and cymbals alarms and bells, but your sweet, soft voice gives the message. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough to invest in us again today, that you wouldn't see us go into this weekend without talking about priority, priority in relationships, and a priority with where we have our relationship with you. And if we focus more on the relationship we have with you, you would point out all these little areas that we need to fix and we need to clean up, where everybody's feeling like they're not doing anything wrong, where, you know, what's wrong with what I've done? You know, these people, you know, they said, well, we checked on her. Every time we came from a set, that their needs came before the daughter's needs, that they found a way out in their mind. But, Lord, we're asking you to raise your people up today. Your challenge for quite some time has not been the unbeliever. It's been us. And we're thanking you today, God, that you're pulling on our coats. You're just grabbing us up, and you're ushering us into another level of thinking, another level of behaving, another level of standing up for what's right, another level to show our love and concern for one another, another level of putting someone else before ourselves, another level of being responsible. And Lord, these are just indicators. These are just other little ways that you're trying to get our attention and let us look in the mirror and ask, am I doing everything that God wants me to do? Am I prioritizing properly? Is there somewhere in my life where I've chosen the Batman ticket over the birth of the baby? See, that was his problem. But it's now up to us to ask, is that my problem? Is that something that I've done? And we thank you, God, for knocking on our door, because you love us enough that you don't want to see any of us perish. And we're grateful for you. We're grateful to you that you love on us over and over and over and over again. That when we need to have that priority check, we don't have to go far. All we have to do is find you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing us safely through another week. We ask that as Pastor KL travels, God, that you give him traveling mercies. We ask that as everyone else finishes up their week, that we would end this week thinking on you, how good, great, and wonderful you are, and that we would continue to look forward to holding hands and holding hearts every opportunity we get. Thanking you for your guidance every step of the way, knowing that you are a man of your promises, that all good and perfect gifts come from you and we would never want for anything. Thank you, Father. How can we say thank you enough for all that you have done? We can't. So our lives need to display what it is we're grateful for. We can never match you given, but at least you can see a valiant effort, and I mean a valiant one, not this half-baked, I tried. But when you look at us, even on earth, you could say, well done, my good and faithful servant, that we would be clocking that each and every movement, each and every word, each and every thought. That's what we would be looking for, the approval, you know, the men talked about the validation of their friends, of their boys, but we need to check for your validation. Can we honestly say that the things we do, the things we say, the way we think, the way we treat one another, the way we love one another, the way we bless you, the way we minister, are we doing it to the point where we can stand up before you and you would honestly validate everything we do? We ask you, God, for a shift. Let us have that change today that we need. And let us show you the love that we say we feel, that we say we're giving. Let us do what we're supposed to do each and every moment of the day so that you can give us that great big stamp and we can move on with our heads held high, knowing that whatever we do is pleasing in your sight. Thank you so much for ushering us into a weekend, and we pray, God, that everybody can be safe, that we would focus on you, and we would grow just a little bit more each and every day you spare our life. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's the end of the week, and we have brought it in together, taken it out together, and with a lot of things to think about this week. You know, when you think about all the conversations, when you think about all the news stories, how many messages are we actually receiving? How many times do we hear these stories and really go back to the mirror and or we really get on our knees and ask God, God, is there something you want to show me? Is there something you're bringing out in all of these stories? And that's the one thing I go to God about all the time, and I'll tell you why. You know, I don't know how many of you remember me saying, I never watched the news. I didn't read the news. I didn't watch the news. I didn't turn on the new radio news. I just did it because my thing was they ain't never talking about nothing happy. You never hear nothing productive. And when it's due time started, and you know I was given that, you know this is a part of the morning to discuss the news, I realized more and more that God said, I want you to pay attention to everything that you're talking about. You know, you discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. This is real life here. These are the dilemmas that people are really going through. And I need you to put a spotlight on earth as I've put a spotlight from heaven on all these little things, these decisions that people are making and the behavioral patterns and the things that people are saying and, you know, the way people are thinking and check out the flesh and the spirit. And that way you can see the world for what it is. And that way you can help all the people that I send to listen, that you would help them take a hard look at themselves, for them to ask themselves, you know, what's in this for me? What was going on in this particular news story that was for me? You know, we talked about the parenting today, you know, and how the parenting has taken such a big shift. Is there a parent listening? Or is there a parent who will listen? Who will now go back and say, you know, I didn't get up on that ski lift. I didn't go file my taxes. I didn't, you know, go on a shopping spree. But like Pastor Kale brought up, am I with a man who always wants my children to be gone? Always want them to be asleep? Where they're just like in the way? Am I turning my attention more toward him than I am my children? Because if I am, I'm doing the same thing as the ski lift, as the income tax, as the shopping spree. See, that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to hear these things and make a comparison so that we can ultimately make that shift, make that curve. It's never too late. As long as God gives you life and breath, it's never too late. You want to make sure that you're on the right side of things because we don't know when our last moment is. And, you know, I have to say, I remember, you know, my mother's last few hours, I was there with her, and she couldn't talk because she was literally on life support, completely sedated, paralyzed, they said. She could hear me. And I remember saying to her, Ernie, this makes me think of all the times when I used to say, we don't know our moment. You know, you were prepared to come home the day before you ended up having a mild heart attack. And you never, in 1 month, pretty much. And this is why I used to always say to you, Ernie, talk to the Lord and say whatever you need to say. Do what the Lord wants us to do. Make the changes that the Lord wants us to make because you wanted to talk. You wanted to talk to us, wanted to see your family, wanted to spend time with your family. But we're here to learn from this experience because I know that, you know, you wanted more. You had plans. She said she was coming home. She was going to put some great northern beans on the stove. She had plans. Yep, she was going to cook for herself. That's what she wanted to do. That meant a lot to her because, you know, she was here and, you know, we always cooked for her, primarily me. But she wanted to come home, and she was looking forward to coming home on December 7th. And she was going to cook her great northern beans, and I was going to make the cornbread. And look what happened. So this is why I say all these news stories, all of the indicators that God gives us, all of this opportunity that God is giving us to turn it all around, we don't know. We don't know when our last moment is going to be. We don't know when we're going to have them plans on the table. And it's going to come to a screeching halt. Remember, the Bible says that once God closes our eyes and we're in the grave, all those plans stop. All man's plans cease once he puts them to final rest. So I want to again remind you that these stories that we cover, it ain't for nothing. Let's make sure we make that turn that God is indicating that we should make and giving us an opportunity to make. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, our men, for sending us into a wonderful weekend with some thought-provoking things to carry with us. And I want to thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us all week. and being the motivation in which we move. Ah, please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Sunday, God spares, where we will be having the Word Prayer Project. Come on in the room. We don't know what we're going to be praying about, but we know we need you as a prayer partner. Until then, God spares life. I love you.